Do you feel that in a time when we are more connected than ever, we are drifting away from real human connection, especially to ourselves? I do. Hi, I'm Leticia Latino, and I want to invite you to join me and my very inspiring guests in exploring ways to reconnect to your essence, to your definite purpose, to what makes you tick. Are you ready? Well, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Back to Basics, Reconnecting to the Essence of You. My guest today is Robert Indrich, and he went from being a farm boy in a developing country to owning 8 businesses, generating 7 figures around the globe, and named International Tycoon by Entrepreneur.com. One of the goals he's very passionate about relates to setting new standards in business ethics and performance, to show the world what is possible for corporations to grow rapidly and generate billions whilst being driven by uncompromisable ethics. I love that. Hello, Robert, and welcome to Back to Basics.
Hello, thank you so much.
Well, I'm very excited to have you here because I'm a businesswoman and I'm always also struggle with staying on purpose, balancing profits with purpose and all that good stuff. But I, of course, always want to learn about the origin story, and you seem to have a very good one because when you hear, you were a farm boy and you in a developing country. So tell us a little bit about those young years and if you ever thought you were going to be named International Tycoon by somebody. How did that happen?
Well, let me start with the easiest answer. No, I never imagined that. I never thought something like that would happen when I was young. Like, I mean, when we were young, the only thing I was thinking about is cows and chicken and, working the land and picking apples and stealing cherries because we didn't have cherry trees, but other people did. So we would, climb up the cherry tree and just eat cherries. It was very interesting. I mean, we would, for example, have to walk, I don't know how many cows. And then in the morning, we would leave home, me and someone else or just me, whatever. And we would have a half a loaf of bread or something and an onion and, something from the pork, whatever, something. And then we would go out and then we had to make a fire for ourselves wherever we would go. We didn't have water. We would drink water from puddles, like a little puddle, like anywhere, it just didn't matter. Like, you didn't think twice. Our rule was that if there's a frog there, it's clean water because frogs only stay in clean water. Right. Uh-huh. So it was a very easy thing. If there would be a frog, we would just drink from there, very easy.
Interesting. And so, which developing country is this, if you don't mind, so that our audience can imagine you?
No problem. So I'm a Hungarian born in Romania. So I'm literally on the border between Hungary and Romania, 40 miles off the border, something like that. I was born.
Okay.
And there I, just learned to do farming stuff, like anything like you could imagine. And at one point I used to go to school to the city near us. So our town had maybe 2,000 people. So everyone literally knew everyone else. It's just, you knew where they live. You knew their uncle, their, everyone, their grandfather. And we at one point were, going to school, and my school was near, or on the way to school and back, we had the library, and I loved the books. And so I would go in and I would see all of these amazing books and these amazing titles. And our parents never had money for anything, or at least they told us, like you couldn't buy anything with money. The only thing they allowed us to buy was books. So I could buy books, which was amazing, for a child as in terms of education. So I would just keep buying books. And at one point, I saw this book. I still remember seeing it and where I saw it. It was The Evolution of Technology. And it was a big book. It cost the price of 2 books. So I had to negotiate with my parents. I had to convince them that I need money for a book because it was more expensive. So I had to take them to the library to show them, this is the book I want to buy. Mm-hmm. And so, but they eventually got it. So that was good. And then I just fell in love with the book. I still own it, by the way. It's still in my hometown, right? It's still there. Whenever I go home, I open the book. I just look through it. And That book, basically, the moment I was reading that book, I decided I'm going to be an engineer. That's it. I was like, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to build stuff. I love this. It was so cool. Everything I was reading, it was very nice. And so from there, I then started learning online and picking up other books of what, it is to be an engineer. I was picking stuff apart, understanding why the things work the way they work, right? And so then I went to high school. I left my parents' house when I was 14. I went to another place, away to another city, so I could go to a technical high school. And then I went there, and I learned quite a bit there. In high school, I started working odd jobs. Everything, like, I was even before high school. So I don't remember a time in my life when I wasn't working, doing something, some form of work. And I was a lumberjack at one point. At another point, I was, building furniture. At another point, I was the guy on the band, just hammering things, giving it to the next guy, hammering something and giving it to the next guy. So I did that because, like, you had to make money somehow. I couldn't just live in the big city, without making money somehow. So I did
Of
that.
course.
And at one point, one of the factories, I was talking to the owner of the factory, and I told them that they have an amazing business, and that everything they're doing is, like, I'm amazed by how good everything's running. However, they were still operating the business off of paper. So whenever people would make an order, they would write it down on paper, and then that would be sent to the cutting department. They would cut the pieces where they need to be, and then that would go to a coloring or assembly or whatever, in the manufacturing plant. And so I thought that's archaic, and I told him, it's like, come on, like, you have computers. Like, why do you use, pen and paper to run a multi-million dollar entity, with six countries and so on and so forth? And he laughed, because I was the youngest guy there. And I was giving him feedback on business, imagine. And then it was, he laughed. He said that they're already in conversations with a company in Budapest to build systems for them to automatize many of the things that they do. And so I asked him, to tell me details about what they're going to do. He told me. And then I asked him, how much are you going to pay for that? And he didn't want to tell me because I was the smallest wage earner there. So it's, like, way, way beyond my salary. It's like, I would have to work 5 years to make that much. But he told me that eventually he told me the sum. And I stayed thinking for a few seconds. And I looked at him, I'm like, I can do everything you just said for half the price. And the guy was like, he looked at me as like, what are you talking about? No, you can't. I'm like, yes, I can. We agreed, everything you said, I can do. Give me half that money, I'll prove to you I can make it. And it's like, no, it's like, this is an entire development firm, and an engineering firm and so on. And like, look, let's do this. Send me home. Let me work from home. Give me the same salary you're giving me right now, and just let me go home 2 weeks and figure it out. Okay, fine. So he did that because, I mean, it was just whatever,
Nothing to lose.
100 bucks. It was nothing. Like, the risk for him was nothing. And so I left and I started working on it. I then came back 2 weeks later, as promised, and I showed him a working software, a working system to do everything he wanted. And I also thought of extra things because he didn't think he should have a database of clients. I made that in Microsoft Access. I made a database of clients that he could access, and he could, whilst he was writing the name of someone, so he would write LETI, and Leticia would just come up, and he could press enter, like, everything
Amazing.
was there. And the guy was shocked. Like, he couldn't believe it. He had a couple points of feedback on what he wants. And I said, okay, give me another week. I'll go back and I'll get it done. So that was my first big engineering project,
Amazing.
real
I love
client.
it.
And I was 15 at the time. So that's how I
Wow,
started.
wow.
And
And I
then it
love
just
that you shared
grew.
that because it shows a lot of who you are. First, that
Thank
you
you.
light up when you tell the story. So when we release the video, like you can tell you still get excited about that. And that is, I think, very important in everything we do. But also that the idea that sometimes we don't ask for things because we think we're going to get the no. And if you hadn't said that, and it was a blunt offer that you made, and that probably say you're crazy, but we don't do it because we are afraid of the rejection of hearing no. So that is pretty impressive. Just with that story, then you know how you were named a tycoon and how you're running so many businesses, because you are, of course, an entrepreneur at heart too, like trying to solve problems. And so I'm sure that your career in that company went better, but did you stay? At some point you changed from engineering. So how did you find your true calling, which is to help businesses grow and to travel the world helping companies succeed?
I'm not, I'm going to say something that might seem a little bit odd. I'm not sure I found my true calling.
Okay.
And so this is what I'm doing right now. And I give myself the flexibility to, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, do something else, right? If I want to,
That's
I'm not,
great.
laser focused on one thing to say, okay, well, this is what I'm on the planet to do. I understand if there are people that are like that, and I perfectly get how they operate. At the same time, I tried doing that with myself, and I tried putting myself in a place where, hey, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, right? And then I do that for like 5 years, and then something else that's cooler, that excites me more, comes up. It's like, you know what? I want to do that as well. And then I do that, and I do that. And so it just, that happened 11 times. That's just the truth, right? Like 11 times I heard of ideas that I really like, that I thought, can help the world and make it better. And then I said, okay, let's do it. Either they're my ideas and, presenting it to others and raising capital or whatever we needed to do, or getting other people to come to me to say, hey, I have this business. I'd love to your support in it. I can give you shares, but let's grow it together, right? And so I did that a few times as well. I think it's a good half-half. So half of the ideas are mine, half of them are, other people's. I don't mind. I don't have an ego. I just love doing good, adding value in any way we can. And when I look at how I came from engineering to this, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always wanted to work corporate. I always wanted to have jobs. Again, it helps me to not have an ego. I don't care if my name is out there or not. What I care about is, are we making the world a better place, right? Like, is this functioning? Like, I could have been an engineer in Tesla or SpaceX or whatever. I don't know. But the reality is that, whatever, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I didn't find jobs that would suit my desire to grow, my skill sets, and so on and so forth. And whenever I would get a job, I didn't feel appreciated. I didn't feel, whenever I would have employment, I would always 2 to 3x my quotas. Whatever they would give me as quotas at the beginning, month one, I would double it. Month two, I would triple it, right? So I would always do things like that because, I mean, why not? Give it your all if you're there, right? Be 100% there. And so I did that a few times, and in every time I have many horror stories, but every time I was let down in weird ways. And so at one point, it's very interesting that I just said, you know what? I don't want this. Like, let me just create my own business and treat people the way they should be treated, service people the way they should be serviced, and so on and so forth. So I did that, and that led to another business and another business, and it just started one after the other. And when I was named International Tycoon, I think I had four businesses, something like that. So that was quite a few years ago. But it's still, you only really need to make, seven figures in a few countries, and you're already an international tycoon by every regard, because 99.99% of people never make millions, number one, right? And then number two, the quantity of people that make millions in multiple countries is even smaller. It's like, it's almost no one, like, comparatively. I know we talk about, people like Elon, like Jeff, like Bill, like, Warren or whatever. Like, we talk about these guys that everyone knows, but the reality is they're such a small percentage of businesses. It's like, almost like you couldn't even see it. Like, there are so many zeros before the one. It's like, oh, no businesses, statistically speaking, are that big and that successful. Vast majority of businesses, I'm actually going to say real stats, 96% of businesses worldwide never reach $1 million. 96%, right? So that means the vast majority of any entrepreneur will never become a millionaire, at least on a year-by-year scale, because we're talking revenue, yearly revenue. So 96% will never get there. If you have good money management, You make 100 grand this year, 100 grand next year, whatever, you eventually do become a millionaire. I'm just saying, as from a turnover standpoint.
Yeah.
And out of that, you know, the people that pass 2 million is even smaller, the people that pass 10 million even smaller, and so on and so forth. So it's just, I naturally went into these things. I'm not going to say I had a plan. I didn't. I mean, one of my businesses is in an engineering company that builds anything people want us to build. You know, the more complex, the better. One of them is a marketing agency that has generated over $250,000 in sales for our
Wow.
clients, right? So we're just growing like crazy. Everyone we everything is just touches to gold. So I'm very happy with that. We have another one that's operations company. We manage operations for other companies. However, I also have, for example, a card game for couples, right? That helps couples experience more love, joy, and connection. It's
Oh, I
literally a
love
game
that. What's
that you
the
play.
name?
Let me show you. I have it here.
Everybody needs that. Okay.
There we go.
Better topics. Okay, great. I'll
Better
definitely
topic.
will buy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I
that's
love
it.
it.
So we have this. We invented this game together with my wife. It was amazing to work with her, you know, on the project.
Awesome.
We did a little Kickstarter fundraise, a crowdfunding, you know, and we got hundreds of people buying it from I don't know how many countries. So that was cool. So that was
That's
validation.
great.
That's all I needed. Then we
Of
went
course.
into mass production with that money. And then now, you know, we're selling in over 18 countries. We've won last year the Most Innovative Game of the Year award in the
Oh my
UK.
God,
So that
congratulations.
was cool. Thank you. Another business started in Manchester was an Airbnb for luggage. It's called City Spare Space, right? Anyone can, if you go. So it started with one location, and now 3 to 4 years later, we have in the UK over 80 locations, sprinkled all across the country. We went into the US last year. We're at over 15 locations, and this year we're opening 4 other countries, right?
Wow.
So it's just whatever I love doing, you know, it's just. It's not planned. Like that guy, for example, Caleb, the original, the mind behind City Spare Space, he was an introduction from a friend. Like, Robert, I really like you. I have a friend that really wants to scale his business. I think you two should speak. I spoke with the guy. He showed me the business. He showed me the idea. I was hooked in the first conversation. I'm like, I love this and I love you. Let's do something, right?
I
And
like
we just
that.
started working together, you know.
That is a great story. And I love that you share all the things you're doing because I know that there's so many good ideas in my audience. You know, I think there's every human being has, you know, I don't know, I have read somewhere that he has at least four ideas that if we committed 100% to them, they would be successful. The problem is we don't commit 100% to it, and everybody thinks that you need a solid plan. So I love the fact that you say I didn't have a plan. So when that person listens to you, okay, he didn't have a plan. He had good ideas. I think you mentioned something that it's something I live by too, which is working with people I like, and I learned that also later in life. Where you now say, yeah, this is a great business, but I don't like the ethics. I don't like the person. I don't like what they stand for. This is going to fail down the road, no matter how much money we're going to make. And so it takes discipline to start saying, no, I'm going to resist. So, but what would you say to anybody, you know, that's either starting? I know you're big on, you know, I can tell you how to double your business in 12 months. And people are a little wary of those things and say, is it true? What would be like, you know, your high level elevator pitch to anybody out there that it's at that stage that either starting a business or growing their business, what would you focus on at that early stage? And I know every business is different, so it's hard to tell, but if you wanted to encourage somebody.
I would focus on a few things. Number one, most important, I would focus on love. And this is incredibly important. You need to love your craft, you need to love your audience, you need to love your coworkers, you need to love yourself, right? I would focus on love as the principal pillar on which good business is done, because I cannot do good and ethical business if I don't care about my customer. I can't do it if I don't care about my colleagues. I can't do it if I don't care about myself and I run myself into the ground, right? I can't do it if I'm not passionate about my work, about my craft, about, you know, the product, the idea, the vision, right? Focus on love. You need to love it. You need to love the business and every part of it. If you don't like something about the business, I'm a very big believer in life design. And so as part of life design, you know, there are all of these people that sell the idea of these habits, you know, to make habits so that, you know, doing whatever you want to do is automatic. I'm like, are you listening to yourself? Automatic? You want to be a robot? You want to like just automatically go to the gym? You want to automatically read books? You want to automatically spend time with your wife? What are you talking about? The entire point of being is consciousness. Consciousness is the point to be. There's no other place you can live. And I tell people, the only places where you're miserable or, you know, sad or worried or anxious is either in the past or in the future. It's never in the present moment. Never. Right? Anyone that lives in the present moment consciously lives in utter gratefulness because they realize that I can live, that I can breathe, that I can make a difference, that I can act, that I can talk to that person. You can. You are have been given today as a present. That's why it's called the present. It's a gift. This is the present. This is God's present to you. That's why it's called the present, right? It's the present. So this is the moment. You can only live your life here. And if you live your life here, not in the future nor in the past, then you can live life with love and gratefulness. So that's number one. And then number two is a monomaniacal focus on making money. Whether you're a nonprofit, and I've coached so many dozens of nonprofits, I kid you not, pro bono work and so on and so forth, right? I love it. If any nonprofits are listening to this show, reach out to me. I can't wait to help you, right? Make the world a better place. But basically, when we talk about business, money is the blood of the business. If there is no money, there's no business. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just facts. These are the facts, right? You're not going to hire someone on promises or on cookies. You're going to hire them on money. They need money, right? To pay rent, to pay for their children's education, to do whatever they need to do, right? It doesn't matter how much they love you and how much they love the vision. They need some money, you know, whether they need $1,000 or $4,000, that's to be determined. But they need something to live off of, just like you do, right? You need money, your colleagues need money, the prime product needs money, right? Your tools need money, and so on and so forth. So focus on making money. Stop making pretty websites, you know, stop making business cards, stop thinking of the perfect pitch, stop whatever. Go out and sell something. There's no business until a sale is made. Your business doesn't exist until a sale is made. And guess what? Your business will slowly die if you stop making sales. That's it. It's just facts. I'm trying to help people. If it doesn't sound pretty, you know, I'm telling you, number one is love. Base everything you do on love, right? And so don't, you know, steal people's money. Take it and render valuable service or give them valuable products like the game card, right? When I do service for others, typical deal size is $500,000. That's what we do. We have deal sizes of, I think we make, sometimes we make multiple millions per year. At the same time, this card game for couples is sold at $25. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big difference. This is a product that you buy, right? And you play a few times. Hopefully you play forever and your marriage, you know, is even better, you know, and more and stronger every week. At the same time, it's very different. So the $500,000 client will probably make $5 million, right, out of that. And the person that bought this game for $25 will at bare minimum spend once in their lifetime quality time with their spouse. Minimum, if they never play the game again, at least once they picked it up, they looked at the questions, asked one another, you know, played around for a little bit, and that's it. Minimum viable product that's worth more than $25. Right. And for the companies that work with us, that, you know, we help them scale and grow, again, they make ROI based on that as well. Okay. Very different businesses. Still, you make money. So those would be the two main things I would say. And if I would say a third, this comes after, is that this only comes if you forget the first two. But if you do forget the first two at any point in time, or if something goes bad, because it can go bad, right? What I would suggest is a prayer, to pray. You literally should just pray. I don't want to be too woo-woo, if you know, like whatever, but Whenever I stop, first, like, let's say I have a bad day, like something horrible happened today, whatever, it can happen. And then I just stay in prayer and I said, okay, in every obstacle, there's an equal or greater opportunity, right? So I just stay and pray and say, okay, what are my opportunities here? What can I learn? What can I do differently? How can I change course? You know, and so on and so forth. They're just stopping for a second, not beating yourself, number one. You know, forget the blame, forget the guilt tripping, you know, forget all of that. It's useless. You don't have all of the answers. No one expects you to. You shouldn't expect yourself to, right? What do you want? You want to have a $1 billion business without making mistakes? You can't even have a $1 million business without making mistakes, thousands of mistakes, right? It's gonna happen day in, day out. You're gonna make so many mistakes. It's not even funny. You know, like
Yes.
you, the amount of times I said I could be at $1 billion by now, right? Because like
Yes.
if I could have done this or would have done this or whatever. And I'm like, well, okay, but I learned all of these things. And the moment I do become a $1 billion person, guess what? I've earned it. I've
Yeah.
learned, I've done it. I've went through the crash course of life, you know, and gotten there. So if I lose my entire empire, I can build a $10 million business in a year after that, right? Or I can make another $1 billion business, who knows, with the connections I have. Because probably if you're a billionaire, you have other billionaires as friends. I'm a millionaire and I have billionaire friends, a few of them, right? That I talk to and resonate with and so on. And they love talking to me because I'm always so excited, you know, and their vibration goes up, you know.
Yep.
So they probably make an extra $1 billion. I make an extra, you know, 100 grand, you know, whatever. But it's, you
Yeah.
know, give and take.
Yeah, no, well, that's incredible. I'm gonna come clean, because when you do research ahead of an episode, and I did the research on you, and you're so successful, and of course you're a numbers guy, and you've, $1 billion help your clients to, growth, and I was a little bit, I'm like, oh my God, because anybody that's some back to basics know, this is about inspiration, this is about, the journey, and some like, oh, I have a super achiever here, and I hope it's not about money. And I have to say, I'm sorry, because this is becoming quickly one of my favorite episodes, because you don't hear such successful people to, and you say, I'm going to recommend three things. And number one is love and gratitude. And number three is praise. The other two fail. And then number two, and I'm going to say this on my own, is like focus on making money, which is not easy when you are, a heart-centered person. Like you almost feel greedy. You feel, like guilty, because you say, I'm so happy and I have so many gifts from God. And now you're going to ask for money and you're going to be focused on money. And I have struggled with that myself. But so the fact that you shared these three pieces of advice, I think it shows an incredible person, to be honest, because when you're talking about money, it takes also courage to say, well, first thing is love and gratitude. I'm sure a lot of people are like, what? What is he talking about? So I can see how you're successful. I mean, I went to your webpage, which of course will be on the show notes, which is Robert. Indris.com. It will be on the show notes, and you have so much content there. And I know you also, on besides all the things you do, you also work with people, you coach people, you, as you say, you work with nonprofits. Anything that we haven't shared, I mean, that's specific to you, that it's exciting you today, that you want to share with the audience?
Well, a few things I can share. Number one is something I haven't yet shared publicly, but this year I might become a father. So
Oh,
it's
congratulations. Oh my God, we have one of those. That's okay. I keep you in the good spirit. That's the most the
Thank
best
you.
ride you will ever take.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're starting that journey this year. So we're halfway through, you know, that process. So hopefully in a few months, you know, we'll be okay. The other thing is I was thinking last year, because we had a very successful exit one a year ago, a little over a year ago, we sold a company that we worked on for like 6 months. We launched it, we made $250,000 in the first 2 months. And
Oh
by
my God.
month three, we got an eight-figure buyout offer. And
Oh, wow.
it was fantastic. We just accepted it. It was great. And then we had a nice payday. And after that, I said, okay, well, I just made this much money, you know, in a few months. And, you know, this, I'm not used to that because all of my other businesses aren't valued as high, or the multiple on EBITDA isn't that high and so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, so there's a part of the world I don't know yet in terms of, you know, these valuations and how much money you can make in an exit and so on. So I said, okay, let's see what's the most positive impact I can leave with a business, and at the same time, it having an amazing valuation, right? And so if I ever exit or whatever, sell shares, you know, I can be in a very good spot. So I came up with an idea that I worked on for a few months, and now I'm just searching for investors for that. So I'm gonna choose one, two, three investors, whatever. I just need one, to be honest, because the amount I'm raising isn't that big. But if I have one, two, three investors, good investors, then we will start, and I'm very excited for that venture.
Wow, that sounds exciting. And it sounds like you will keep adding companies to your portfolio, and you better speed up and do all that good stuff, because then the babies and the kids are gonna take away
I know.
your
I'm looking
time.
forward to it. Yes.
Yes, and that's very, very exciting. Well, you know, this has been an amazing conversation. I'm a new fan. I'm gonna follow what you do. Thank you for also wanting to make the world a better place, because I think conscious leadership is what we need. Making money is great, but doing it in a way that, you know, it makes the world a better place is really important. And so my last question of every episode, Robert, is what makes you tick besides making money, loving, and being grateful? What is the one thing that you go to, or the one practice that maybe you had in those days where that investor doesn't show up and you feel a little bit low and you say, I need to resource?
I'll say something that might be very corny, but it's my wife. I love my wife more than anything else. I spend so much time with her. We cuddle every day. We have daily huddles where we share our victories from yesterday and what we want to do today. Is just every single emotion I live goes through that amazing being, you know, that was God-given. And it's she really is my rock in everything I do. If I have a horrible day, I just need a hug. I get a hug and that's it. I just everything goes away. I don't because everything I want is right here. This square foot, everything I want is right here. I don't need the business. I don't need the money. I don't need the car. I don't need like I just need this person to be in my life. And then the moment I'm reminded of that in the split second, that's it. I'm just grateful immediately.
Another one of my favorite answers to what makes you tick. I've never had that on the in over 250 years.
Wow, okay.
So believe me, but the family comes out often.
Yes.
But and that I'm sure that when you have your kids, that will be added. But thank you for that. Definitely an inspiring conversation. I appreciate you, and to all of you out there, just you know, you have the magic recipe right there given by Robert on how to live your best life. Thank you for tuning in, and until the next episode of Back to Basics. You've been listening to Back to Basics. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. If you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite streaming platforms. This is the best gift you can give us. Join me next week for another Back to Basics conversation. And if you want to find out about other exciting things I'm working on, visit leticialatino.com. Thank you, and until the next time.